His father Ahaz had closed the doors of the temple. He had brought in all kinds of pagan idolatry. His father had built altars on every corner in Jerusalem to false deities. And as a result of the sin and the wickedness of Ahaz, the nation had sunk to a very deep valley of weakness and a prey to their enemies. When Hezekiah became king, he first of all instituted many spiritual reforms. They put away the gods, the pagan gods that they had been worshiping. They destroyed those pagan altars and places of worship. He ordered the doors of the temple to be reopened, that the priests should clean out the debris. And they started again the daily sacrifices and the worship of God within the temple. And then they had ordered that they celebrate the glorious Passover feast. And the people were drawn and they made a commitment to serve the Lord. And thus, under the reign of Hezekiah, the nation became strong. The nation became prosperous. We see in this a classic illustration of the prayer of Solomon being fulfilled when he dedicated the temple. If, he said, their enemies should overrun the land, if they be in trouble because they have turned their back on you, if they turn to this place and if they call upon thee, then hear from your dwelling place in heaven, answer their prayer and heal their nation. And God said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Such was the case. Israel was weakened. It had gone into captivity to its enemies. But when Hezekiah encouraged the people to call upon the Lord and seek the Lord, God blessed. The nation became strong once again. But now, awesome news has come. That mighty, brutal army of the Assyrians has decided to make Jerusalem its next victim. And they are marching towards Jerusalem. And daily the reports come of the advance of the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army was the greatest military force in the world in that day. No city or no nation was able to stand against the onslaught of the Assyrians. But more than that, they were brutal. When they conquered a nation or a city, they would brutalize those that remained alive. When they would take people captive, they would mutilate their bodies, cutting off an ear or a nose, pulling out their tongues, gouging out an eye. They were brutal. They did that deliberately to strike fear in the hearts of the people, and they were successful. History tells us that many times when a city was surrounded by the Assyrian army and all seemed to be lost, the entire populace of the city would commit suicide rather than to be captured and brutalized by the Assyrians. And so, word has come that the Assyrians are on the move and these people's existence is being threatened. Hezekiah, being a wise king, began to prepare for this coming military encounter. He first of all stopped up all of the springs and the wells around about Jerusalem. He said, why should the Assyrians find water here when they get here? The Assyrian had an army of several hundred thousand. And Jerusalem is an arid area. Water is essential for survival. And he says, why make it easy on them? Close up all of the wells and all of the springs so that they'll have to go on down towards Jericho to get water, and hundreds of the troops will be deployed just in keeping the army supplied with the water that they need to survive in this area. The spring of Gihon, which was just outside of the city wall, they decided that they would dig this tunnel through solid rock, some 1,700 feet, that they might direct the water on inside of the city walls to the pool of Siloam. And so he set the men and the engineers to digging this tunnel. One group started at the pool of Siloam, the other started at the spring of Gihon. And without modern type of engineering equipment, they started digging towards each other through solid rock, 1,700 feet, until they finally met somewhere in the middle and they had an account of their meeting. They could hear the pick and they started shouting and all, and they started then digging towards each other. They had missed about a 7-foot span, and so when you get to the middle of the cave, you find a sharp curve as they came across and met each other and completed this tremendous task with hammers and hand chisels, chiseling through 1,700 feet of solid rock, actually about 4.5-5 feet average height and about 18 to 24 inches wide to bring the water from the spring of Gihon on into the city. And then from the outside, they covered over the spring of Gihon so that the Assyrians would not know where the water supply was. Not only that, the walls of the city of Jerusalem were in disrepair. And so they built up the walls, those places where the walls were broken down, they built them up. And then the towers that were on the walls, they even heightened the towers that were on the walls to prepare for this coming invasion and the siege of the Assyrian army. And then they set the factories to work in making an abundance of spears and shields. As all of this preparation was being made for this coming invasion. These were the physical preparations. On the other side, Hezekiah began to pray. He began to call upon the Lord for his strength and for his help for the people. As Christians, we are not to be foolhardy. We are not to use prayer as a substitute for work. God expects us to do something. It is true that it is God who will be our help and our victory in the final analysis. But God doesn't expect us just to sit around and do nothing, expecting Him to do it all. If you're out of work, you're not to just sit there in the house day after day saying, God, if you want me to go to work, let someone call me on the phone and give me a job. You're to make up a resume. You're to go out and you're to pass out your resume. You're to knock on doors. And Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And as you knock on the doors, the Lord will open unto you the right door. In the morning, you don't wake up and just open up your mouth and say, God, I'm going to lie here. If you want me to eat breakfast this morning, just drop it in my mouth and I'll chew it. It doesn't work that way. God expects us to do on our side that which is reasonable and that which is proper. Hezekiah just didn't say, oh, Lord, deliver us. He was making preparations for their defense. There is always that human side and the divine side. God expects us to do our part, and God will surely do His part. And so Hezekiah was doing his part in preparing the city for the siege. He was taking the necessary steps for the defense of the city. But the people were pretty worried. In fact, they were dismayed. What do you do when it seems that the situation is just overpowering? What do you do when it seems there is no way out? And you usually do what they do. They just became fearful and dismayed. But actually, that is a dangerous position to be in. A position of defeatism. You know, there's just no way we can do it. And just sort of that surrendering or giving up. And the people, because of the history of the Assyrian advances and their power, because of the stories of their brutalism, the people were demoralized. They were discouraged. And so Hezekiah called them together into the street in front of the city gate. And there Hezekiah spoke to the people. And here we have his message in verse 7 of chapter 32. He said to the people, "Be strong and courageous." They were feeling very weak in face of the power of the enemy. He said to them, "Don't fear or be dismayed." They were very frightened and they were dismayed. They didn't know what the future held. Things are looking dismal. They're looking so bad. What is our future? What is our hope? And so he says, "Now look, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged." Now, for a person to tell you something like that, when you've got real problems, doesn't help unless they offer a solution for your problem. If you're discouraged and depressed, and someone comes along and says, "Cheer up, friend," you want to hit them in the mouth. You know, unless they offer some reason, they give you some basis for cheering up, it doesn't help. Now, if you're going through some real problems, financial problems, and you're all discouraged and down in the dumps because of your financial problems, and they come up and they say, "Cheer up, I heard you just won the sweepstakes." Oh, they've given me a cause for cheering up. You know, it helps to relieve when they give you the cause for being cheerful. Hezekiah just didn't say, "Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed." He gave them a cause for not being afraid or being dismayed. It is this: there are more with us than are with them. We have the advantage in this coming conflict. Don't see yourself as defeated and being in a position of disadvantage. We have the advantage over them. There are more that are with us than are with them, because all they have is the arm of flesh. But we have Yahweh our God. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Because they don't have a chance. All they've got is the arm of flesh. As we sang this morning, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. All they've got is the arm of flesh. We have the the Lord our God who is with us. Therefore, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, for the Lord is with us. Paul the Apostle, in writing to the Romans, said, and if God is for us, who can be against us? We need not fear what man shall do, for the Lord of hosts is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our strength. And so be strong. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. For greater are those forces that are with us than those forces that are against us. As John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, what was he doing? He was redirecting the focus of the people. You see, when you get every day these rumors going and the words coming, oh, they're already up at the northern border. Man, they're wiping out everybody. Man, these guys are tough. We don't have a chance. And they were looking at the enemy and seeing the power of the enemy and seeing the situation from just the purely human standpoint. It looked disastrous. But what Hezekiah was doing was redirecting the focus of their life. Don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the enemy. Focus upon the Lord. All they've got is the arm of flesh. We've got the Lord with us. Get your focus on God and the power that God has made available to us over the enemy. And it is so important in the issues of life when we are facing these impossible kind of situations to get our eyes off of the situation, off of the problem, and redirect our focus onto the Lord. And as we focus onto the Lord, we realize that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it is not them against us at this point. It's them against God. They're able to wipe me out so easily, but they can't move my God. And thus I need to focus not on the enemy and the strength of the enemy or the power of the enemy. I need to focus upon the Lord. He is with me. The God of refuge is my strength. And therefore, as we focus upon him, we get the true perspective for the future. And that dispels my fear. And that dispels my dismay. Hezekiah put the problem in this whole new perspective. No matter how impossible victory may seem, remember that God is with you and he has given his promise to help you. The Bible tells us here that they rested then upon the words of Hezekiah. He came with such inspiration as they got their eyes upon the Lord, as they saw the whole battle in the true perspective, the Lord is with us. They rested upon the word of Hezekiah in his assurance of God's help. Oh, that we would learn to rest upon the word of the Lord. That when we have God's promises and God's word, we would, these people, would just rest upon the word of the Lord. Rather than continuing to be fearful, continuing to be dismayed, we would just say, well, it's in the Lord's hands. Let me tell you, if you're still worried about the problem, if you're still distressed over that situation, you haven't yet come to a real trust in God. The moment you truly place the whole situation in God's hands, and if you're really honest, looking at the situation, you might as well. You can't do anything about it. You might as well just place it fully in God's hands. And the moment you do, worry will go. Fear will go. Your dismay will go. The anxiety will go. Well, it's all in God's hands. Well, it looks like it's going to crash. Yes, it just might. But it's in God's hands. And he's going to watch over me. The thing may go down, but God's going to watch over me. It's in his hands. And that resting in God. They rested upon his words. I love that. Oh, that we could learn to do the same. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his holy word. So the people were entering in now to the battle with a true perspective. They're not so much concerned about the powers and the forces that are opposed to them. They're excited about the power that is with them. Now, the Assyrians came and they began the siege of the city. And they sent these fellows up to demand surrender. And when Hezekiah refused to surrender, they began to blaspheme God. They began to send threatening letters. They began to tell the men there on the wall, they began to call up and said, "Man, when we are through with you, there won't be anything left. We're going to just crush you. Who do you think you are to stand against mighty Assyria? Don't think that, you know, God is going to help you. Don't listen to your king Hezekiah who says, trust in God. What God has been able to deliver out of the hands of the Assyrians? Look around at the other nations. None of their gods were able to help them against us, and your God won't be able to help you against us." And they were just saying, "Man, we're going to butcher you guys," and trying to strike fear in the hearts of the people. The negotiators said, "Hey guys, we understand your language. Speak to us in your language. You know, this is a deal between you and us. Don't speak in the language of the Hebrews. These people can hear. Let's negotiate in your..." They said, "No, hasn't the king sent us to talk to these men on the walls? After all, they're the one that are going to suffer if you guys are stupid enough to try and resist us, you know." And they were deliberately trying to strike fear in the hearts of these people who had come to rest in the word. You know, it's amazing how the enemy likes to take you away from the place of rest. You say, "Well, I'm going to trust in God," and man, things get really bad then. And he begins to really pour in all the scenarios, you know. When our son Jeff was just a small little boy, he had an infection in the ear was running, constantly running. And we prayed, laid hands on him, trusted God to heal him. But people would say, "Runny ear, you know, what does the doctor say?" Well, we said, "We haven't been to the doctor. We're just praying and trusting the Lord to heal." "Oh, well, you know, we had a little nephew who had that, and he went deaf, you know." The enemy will do everything to take you from resting in the word of God, in the promise of the Lord. I mean, the worst kind of scenarios can be painted for you, and it cause you to just somehow, "Wait a minute, you know, what am I doing?" And bring dismay and fear back again. Oh, how the enemy likes to rob you of that rest in the Lord. You know, even when you get your eyes focused on the Lord, the enemy's going to come and try and focus you back on the enemy. "Hey, we're really tough, we're really strong, you know, better look at us, man." And you get your eyes again off of the Lord and onto the problem. And you lose the peace, you lose the rest that God wants to give to you. They sent this threatening letter to Hezekiah. He just took it out before the Lord. He went into the temple of the Lord, took it out, and he said, "Lord, read this. Look what they've said about you. They're saying some pretty ugly things about you, Lord. What are you going to do about it?" "Lord, if I were you, I'd really slap them for this one, you know." And he laid the letter out before the Lord, and he prayed unto the Lord. All of these threats and all that were he was being, you know, they're going to do all this kind of stuff to him. And They prayed. Isaiah joined him, the prophet Isaiah. He joined with Hezekiah in a prayer meeting. These two guys were really praying and crying unto the Lord. And we read in the scriptures that the Lord sent an angel to go against the Assyrians. One angel went down into the camp of the Assyrians in one night, and he wiped out 185,000 of the strongest of the troops, the captains, the leaders, the men of valor. In one night, 185,000 slain by the angel of the Lord. The next morning, when the remaining troops awoke, they looked around and they were surrounded by all of these dead corpses. The strength of their army shattered, dead. And so those that were not slain fled, retreated back to Assyria, the king leading the retreat. And when they came back to Assyria, because of their humiliating defeat, the king of Assyria was assassinated. God delivered from the enemy. Even as God has promised to us deliverance, that blessed assurance that we have. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The forces that are with us are greater than the forces that are against us. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Be strong. Be courageous. All they have is the arm of flesh. But with us is Yahweh, the mighty God of Israel. And just as the Lord routed their enemies, so will he rout your enemies. Just as the Lord brought them into glorious victory, he will bring you into glorious victory. For the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Get yourself focused on the powers that God has made available to us. Greater are those powers than all of the powers of hell that might be against you. We have the victory. We have the winning edge. We have him. Let's look to him. Shall we pray? Again, Father, we're so grateful for the victory that we have through Jesus Christ, who has triumphed over the powers of darkness, and there on the cross wrought victory, having spoiled the principalities and those powers, making an open display of his victory in the cross as he triumphed over them. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we go into this battle as victors. The outcome is not in question, for you, Lord, have triumphed over the foe. May we keep our eyes now upon you, the captain of the Lord's host. And may we, O God, look to you constantly when the enemy would seek to redirect our focus. Lord, help us just to keep our eyes upon you, that we might be strong, courageous, in Jesus' name. Amen. After the last service, I failed to direct people towards the prayer room, and I had several at the front door asking me where the prayer room is. For your information, it's over here in the corner. And if you need help this morning, if you need to redirect your focus, I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room and you'll find God is wanting to help you today. Taking away the fear, taking away the worry, the discouragement, the dismay that you might feel because of the oppression of the enemy. And God will give you glorious victory today. You can go home from here today resting upon the word of the Lord, he's going to take care of it if you'll just place it in his hands. May God be with you and bless and keep you. May he fill you with his spirit that you might walk according to his plan, that you might just experience the presence and the power of God working in your life this week as he gives us victory over every foe through Jesus Christ.